In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is, shall be.
Last week, when I was looking over the scripture readings for the coming Sundays, and I came upon this week's scripture reading, I actually said, oh, when I realized it was Zacchaeus, the reading of Zacchaeus today. It's nothing about the particular details of the story or anything about Zacchaeus in particular, but some of you may already realize that this reading on this particular day is a marker of sorts. It's telling us that the seasons of the church are about to change. And that is because it's telling us that Great Lent is somewhere on the horizon line and getting closer to us. I was somewhat surprised. It wasn't necessarily a divinely inspired moment when I said, oh, but it was because I was surprised and somewhat unprepared for the reality. After all, it was just 4 weeks ago we completed the Nativity fast, and I wasn't thinking about the next great fast that's upon us. Though we have not yet officially entered the gates of repentance, the official season of Great Lent, a season characterized by repentance, nonetheless, the church begins to call us, even this many weeks back, it begins to call us to begin reflecting on the theme of repentance. So just so you're not surprised, it is 4 weeks until Meat Fair Sunday. It is 5 weeks until Cheese Fair Sunday. And 5 weeks from tomorrow is Clean Monday, the official start of Great Lent. What this also means for us is something I'd like to remind you. Do you know, when you sometimes during the Christmas season, you hear on the news or you'll hear marketers tell you things like how many shopping days until Christmas? So what it means for us is that there are 83 confessional days before Pascha. And so there's the countdown, and that's the number that, remember, it is the Orthodox practice during Great Lent to make confession. And so sometime in the next 83 days, it would be a good idea to make confession. Perhaps it's been since last year at Great Lent that you've made confession, or maybe you haven't made confession for a number of years. Well, this is a good year to start, and you've got 83 days to plan on doing it. So today we hear the story of Zacchaeus, a tax collector who repents with great zeal. And so many of us are familiar with this story. I mean, I recognize that in my own life as a kid, in Sunday school, I heard about Zacchaeus. I even learned a song about Zacchaeus that had hand motions and the whole nine yards. We hear it many times, and we hear it at this time of year quite often, and perhaps we read about it in our own Bible study. We hear sermons that have been given and so many things that have been written. What more could be said today? So today I simply want to focus on a couple of things about this event. The first being that there was a God-inspired moment that took place in Zacchaeus' life that we don't read about in the text. So we can't trace what's going on in his mind. We can't fully understand all of the details of that moment, the elements of that moment. But that moment indeed took place when Zacchaeus made a decision that he needed to see Christ. And that was a divinely inspired moment, a God-inspired moment. And the second thing to consider is his response to that moment. He responded in a way. He responded by encountering Jesus. His repentance wasn't just talk. He walked the walk of repentance. His repentance took action, bore fruit. He restored fourfold those he had defrauded when he gave half of his goods to the poor. That's really following through with repentance. It took action. So consider first with me that God-inspired moment in Zacchaeus' life when he decided he needed to see Jesus. Again, we don't know a lot of details about that moment, and we don't, for that matter, know much about Zacchaeus' life prior to this encounter with Jesus that we read about today. We know some of the details of his life from church tradition after this event and where he goes and what he does then, but the before his encounter with Christ, we really don't know much. We know what the text tells us, that he was rich and a tax collector, which is a bit of redundancy because most tax collectors were rich. The reason his reference to defrauding is there is because most tax collectors did take more than their fair share, and it made them rich in the process. And by that process, he was not well liked. He was probably hated by many. But there was something about Jesus that was compelling to this man. And he knew that in his heart of hearts, he had to see Jesus. And what was compelling enough that he made the journey into the town and found this sycamore tree that was placed just in his prime prime location, and he climbed that tree in order to see Jesus pass by. The point here is rather simple. Something was going on in those moments prior to our count this morning. There was a God-inspired moment when the thought crossed his mind about Christ. There was a God-inspired moment when he made a decision about Christ, to go and see Christ. God was at work in his life. God was at work in his heart and in his mind long before his encounter with Jesus, long before Jesus passed that way under the sycamore tree. And it is this prior God-inspired moment, which we don't see, this moment where we don't see the details, that moment which is extremely important. It's important because those moments happen in all of our lives. There are God-inspired moments in all of our lives. In fact, they happen fairly regularly, but the problem is we fail to recognize them for what they are many times. We too experience moments when a thought crosses our mind and it's a God-inspired thought. Certainly here, I'm not saying every thought that crosses our mind is a God-inspired thought. We all know better, right? The reality is we battle with what the spiritual fathers of the church call logismi, those evil thoughts and the distractions that take us away from God. Those thoughts fill our mind quite often. But every once in a while, there's a God-inspired thought that's there, something that's coming from God, inspiring us to something good. And when that happens, we must learn to seize that moment. We're familiar, whether we took Latin or not, with the phrase carpe diem, seize the day. But we need to seize that moment, that God-inspired moment in our life where God is in fact inspiring good in us. The good that is found is essentially a marker that it is from God. It's very true that our thoughts can be confusing at times, and especially if we're going to start to consider the source of our thoughts, it's very confusing. But I rest assured, the devil doesn't inspire us towards good. The devil inspires us toward evil. The devil doesn't inspire us to go to church. The devil doesn't inspire us to go to confession. The devil doesn't inspire us to be kind to others. The devil doesn't inspire us to give alms. That's just not his realm. He doesn't even know how to do it. It's beyond his capability. He does not do that. See? It's true that sometimes our good intentions and our good ideas have wrong motivations attached to them and can get twisted up. And it's certainly true that the devil can try to put his hand in the midst of those kinds of things. But the thing where it starts, that inspiration where it starts in our heart of hearts and deep in our thoughts, that's not coming from the devil. The devil does not steer us towards what is good. He never does, because he's afraid that if we go down that road toward good, something good might happen in us or towards someone else. And he only wants evil to happen. So why would he inspire us toward good? No, when he recognizes he can't inspire us towards evil and we're going towards good, then he takes a plan B approach or a plan C approach, and then he tries to muddy the water of whatever good's going on. But his first plan of attack is inspiring evil. So understand that when we have those moments, those God-inspired moments of doing good, that's not coming from the devil. That's the Holy Spirit in our life directing us towards what is good. So for the most part, when we're inspired to do good, we should follow through understanding that God is behind it. And that is essentially that second aspect of today's gospel that we need to consider. When we recognize those God-inspired moments in our life, we need to consider that second aspect that we see in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus took action. He was inspired and he took action. The God-inspired moment brought about the fruit of repentance in his life. And so it must be in all of our lives as well. All of us have those moments, those God-inspired moments, when God is stirring something up in us. And that moment is to serve as a catalyst to propel us forward to action. We shouldn't seize the moment as if that's all that there is and then make a plaque to remember the moment of inspiration. That's not how we seize the moment. We seize the moment in order to guide our future action. We have to follow through with the actions that are being inspired. That God-inspired moment in Zacchaeus resulted in him climbing his sycamore tree. Action. Having Christ as a guest in his home. Action. And finally, his repentance. Action. You see? Those God-inspired moments are to inspire action in us. We must recognize the God-inspired moment in our life. We must seize that moment, but then we must act upon that moment. So if that God-inspired moment is about not being at church, then we need to be in church. It's very simple. We act by doing what we're being inspired to do. If that God-inspired moment is about helping someone, then by all means, help that individual. If that God-inspired moment is about giving, then give. Follow through. Give. Don't just be inspired to give. That's pointless. We have to follow through and give. If that God-inspired moment is about our own path of repentance, then we have to follow through the course of repentance, making restitution when necessary, making confession, doing what we need to change in our life so we're back on course. If that God-inspired moment is about our spiritual life in general, then we have to take action. We do things like, at this time of year, have our house blessed. You see, we have to take action. Those God-inspired moments are there in our life. We have to recognize them and seize them, and we must act upon them. Before any of the details that we see in today's story about Zacchaeus, there was that God-inspired moment where divine inspiration filled him, and it led him to the action of repentance. And all of us have those God-inspired moments in our lives. We need to learn to recognize those moments and seize those moments and act upon those moments. It's not enough to be inspired. We also must act upon the inspiration. So let us seize those God-inspired moments in our life, and let us follow through with action and act upon them to the glory of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.